I must tell you honestly, sometimes I had some friends that invited me to church sometimes, and I didn't know God. And in a sense, my mind in those times was like, yeah, it was running wild. And yet in my heart, I knew that there was something different. It was the presence of God. And I always tell the story of how I went to, especially a church where people raised their hands, and I thought, I'm going to die. I'm already going to die because everything is just weird and it's out of my box and all that stuff. And I still vowed that day. I said, Jesus, if you take me alive out of this service, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And because I thought they slaughtered people behind the curtains at the back, like these red curtains. And the most amazing thing, the next week I was back there because something drew me that was greater than a church service or greater than a group of people saying stuff. It was really a hunger for God. And some of you are here tonight. You're like that. Your minds are running around with you. But you with a purpose, because the King of the universe, the King of glory, has invited you to an audience with him. So I just want to encourage you, just relax, sit still, and don't, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to run up and down or lift your hands, but just open your heart to him. Will you do that? Hello. Yeah, we can give the band an applause because they've been working very hard. Thanks, James, Richard, all the people. Where are they? Dad? And Kibi, he's all the way from London. And we're going to just take a moment to, before we're going to talk to your hearts again, just to talk about this CD. And you see the angel is here as well. Let me just stand a little bit to that side. This is not just an ordinary CD. And actually tonight God reminded me of a dream that I had like 2 or 3 years ago. That there was this massive stage and lots of people were coming and they were just worshiping God, but they were breaking before God. Because the center of the worship was about the cross. I still remember I didn't want to walk onto the stage because there was such a reverence for Jesus. And I never knew it, but then, and we didn't know that, but then the CD came. And the difference, the thing that is different with this CD than most other CDs is the fact that Jesus and the cross of Christ is in the center of all these songs. It brings us back to a love for God and what he's done on the cross. And that's what makes it so amazing. It's not a man-made thing. And that's why we're so excited about it, because we know it's not from us, it's God. It's God that inspired these songs, God inspired these things. And we need lots of faith. We need to trust God to take this to the nations, because it's not about our name or anything, but establishing the cross of Christ again in the church and the body of Christ. And we believe many, even people that don't know God, are going to sing these songs and they're going to do karaoke on these songs and all of that stuff. Because it's very anointed, and especially this last song, you know, the Thank You for the Cross. We didn't even sing the best songs. We kept them for the 8th of May. But I really want to encourage us, especially in this time. While we're sitting, Pastor Fred is in the studio in Cape Town. And he's going to work through night, and Nell and Richard is probably on his way there already. I don't know where Richard is. But they are working night and day to make it an excellent product. And then it goes overseas. And for all the mastering and the final fixing and the final mixing. And Fred says it must be excellent, and it's going to be excellent. And but you know that we don't want to give people a little CD. We want your faith. We want you to partner, because we really believe this is a prophetic thing for the church, especially the church in the West that's going to come back to the cross. Because we sing lots of love songs, lots of feely good songs, but the cross is sometimes missing. It's not about how we feel, it's about how God feels. So we're going to take a moment, and this week is like crunch week, okay? And so we're going to pray God's hand and his supernatural hand on this CD. And then on the 8th of May, you can just flash it. Flash. As I. Okay. The 8th of May, that is our deadline. 3 o'clock the afternoon, there's going to be an open-air family service. You can come from 2 o'clock. And we're going to sing all the songs on the CD. And we're going to just have an amazing open-air worship experience. But I think there's only place for about 1,500 people, so you better come early, and you better come ready, and you better come focused, and bring friends with, Because as you see tonight, there's really an anointing to not just sing these songs, but for people to come to the cross, because many people are going to come to the cross tonight because of Jesus' calling on their lives. And so the 8th of May, 3 o'clock the afternoon, it's at Hillcrest Wine Estate in Durbanville. Okay? If the event rained, it's not going to rain. It's going to go to the Tygerberg Medical Campus, but it's not going to rain. So just forget that. It's at the wine estate. It's beautiful. You can jog there in the mountains or do mountain biking. It's for free. So you just come. But we want everybody to be there. Okay, there'll still be an evening service here and a morning service. So it'd be great if you can come back. But we want you to come and put your faith out with us. And just come and enjoy the afternoon, because we're really trusting God to just launch it officially. And then what is going to happen is you're going to get your CDs there by faith. Okay? Now, tonight, you see those tables on that side? You can buy a coupon. Yeah, just wave. Ladies there, people. The other people are just sitting there and enjoying themselves. Thank you very much. But those two tables, if you've maybe sent an SMS and you've not bought a coupon yet or made a payment for a pre-order, then you can go and pay there, or you can buy a coupon there for the CD, because you're not guaranteed a CD on the 8th of May. So it is very important that you be there tonight afterwards. Please don't tackle the people. If you want to go to the tables, just do it like respectfully. So just invite somebody next to you. Say the 8th of May, 3 o'clock, Sunday afternoon. It's the last social event for all the students, because then you've got another week and a weekend, and then that next Tuesday, and 10 days from then, you're going to start with exams. So it's a great opportunity for your last social of the term. Okay. After that, you must study. Okay. So just invite somebody next to you and say, you better be there or you're going to miss out. Great stuff. What are we going to do right now? We're going to just pray for that CD. So will you turn to that somebody if you feel comfortable with that? And we're going to just pray together. Just 2 minutes. Take somebody's hand next to you and we just pray and say, Father, we ask that you release the CD and we put our faith together. If you're a visitor here and you don't want to pray, the Lord bless you. But we as a church, we're going to pray tonight. So let's all pray together just for 2 or 3 minutes as we pray, especially, and please continue praying in this week. And take some time out to pray, especially for that, and Pastor Fred in the studio as well. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we can come in agreement over your will to be done, Lord. And we thank you that, Lord, this city, we can consecrate it to you, because it's not ours. It's not about our name. But Jesus, we want you to be glorified. Thank you tonight, Lord, that throughout the ages, there's been one message, a message of you laying down your life for us, because you loved us so much. For God sent his only Son. And Lord, we thank you. As your body, we respond to that again tonight by saying, Lord, yes, we give you our hearts. We give you our lives. Yes, Lord, it's not about us, but it's about you and your glory in the earth. And so, Lord, thank you tonight even for your word that is alive and living here tonight. And we thank you for the power of your gospel. We say we're not ashamed of that gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And we thank you for freedom tonight in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, I'm going to do a very short sermon, so hang in there. My name is Sias. For the visitors, the Lord bless you. Thank you for coming and being patient with us. Because it says, give me Jesus. Will you say that? Give me Jesus. Matthew 16. Let's quickly go there on the screen. Oh, that's very small. Jesus asked his disciples some questions. At a stage, Jesus was now on a mission. He was going somewhere. He was really focusing. And then he said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? That's a question God would ask us on an evening like tonight. He would say, who do you say God is? And then Peter said, but you are the Christ. Jesus, you're the Son of the living God. And he made some amazing statements about who this Jesus was. And then Jesus said to him, well, I give you some promises that the key, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. You're going to change the world. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And he gave some amazing promises. And then we go on to the story, and this is where we're catching up with the story, because then Jesus started to be very focused. He was going right to one way because he had something in mind. I'm going to tell you now what that was. And in such a way that he forgot about sentiment and he forgot about things, because there was a focus to go somewhere. Matthew chapter 16, verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. He says, now it's not time to go around and try to tell people who I am and all that stuff. He says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciple that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter, loudmouth Peter, took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall definitely, most surely, definitely not happen to you, because I'm not going to profit from this if you die right now. I'm not going to make, that is just a new translation, 2011. Okay, now he said very simply, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. So he sort of, he takes Jesus aside and he wants to just sort Jesus out, because Jesus is obviously missing the pluck here. He's missing the purpose. He's not playing the game right now. And then verse 23, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. That's not a scripture that we put on our wall where we get very excited about that. The Lord says to me, get behind me, Satan. The Lord calls me Satan, yeah? And so it was quite a thing. Jesus was like really a bit aggro, but because of a specific reason. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The question is, what would you give this evening for your soul? Or what would you take, or what would it profit you if you gain the whole world? You go off at the whole world and, you know, like these people right at the beginning of the century, they really thought that the earth is flat and at the end of the earth, you're going to fall off. Did you know people believe that for many years? Imagine you just go to the end of the earth and then you realize there's more. You go on and there's more. But what if you come to the end of your life and you realize I've gained so much, I've done so much, and yet I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And so Jesus comes, and he comes to a place and he says, look here, there's a challenge. Because now he's going on his way, he's going to the cross, he's got something in mind. Can I tell you what that thing is? Something very simple. It's you. He had you in mind. He was thinking about you. And so right here, if you read the Bible and you come right at the beginning when Jesus came into his ministry, you remember that scripture says that Satan tempted Christ. He came and he said to him, well, if you would tell these stones to turn into bread, then you know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to come out. Everybody that you want to follow you, they're going to come and follow you. So just tell these stones to turn into bread. And that's what he said. And Jesus said, no, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every... So Satan even quoted scripture. And then the next thing he said, go up onto the mount, go up onto the temple and just show yourself as powerful, because if you jump down, the angels will catch you. And so we see the story of Satan. And if you don't believe in Satan, just look in the world around us and then you can see that he actually exists. You don't need to imagine. We live in a broken and a stikken world. That's probably the same, eh? Broken and stikken. A messed up world, okay? We live in a broken and a messed up world. And so after that temptation, right at the beginning, scripture says, and Satan came, he left Jesus, and he was looking for an opportune time. Do you know when that opportune time was? Right here. In the next day in Jesus' life. And even the people around him, and Satan, Peter was so deceived, Satan, he was so deceived there, that he came into a place where Jesus had to rebuke him. Now, he didn't really rebuke Peter in that sense and said, you're equal to Satan. He just said, you know, because in the beginning he said, Satan, go away. But now he said, just get behind me. Because what happened is Peter came to stand between him and something else. So he says, where you are right now, you're not doing the works of God. Get behind me, Peter. Follow me. Don't stand in my way because I'm going somewhere. And then we see this amazing thing of Jesus going to Gethsemane, Jesus sweating blood and praying this prayer. He says, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. But there are three things specifically that Jesus said. If you want to follow Christ, if you ever want to have a life with Christ, he said three things. The first one, he said, deny yourself. Say, deny yourself. It means very simply that you must say no to yourself and yes to God all the time. And that is what repentance means. Repentance is that word metanoia, which says, I must change my actions. Metanoia. Hallelujah. That's prophetically over your ears. We're all the metanoia people. Woo! So you're a whole gang. Yes, you're amazing. Eh? But you know that word, every time you say it, it's going to happen. Those people in that race are going to turn around. Amen, amen? A woman. Okay. A woman there as well. But very simply, there's a turning around. That's what repentance means. You've been walking in one road, on one way, and then you get a revelation that I'm on the wrong road. I'm trying to serve myself, and then you deny yourself. You turn around, and you've got a change of mind and of actions. And you begin to walk in another direction. So Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to have life, if you understand my love, then your immediate response would be that you would deny yourself. Because I want you to see the focus of God, of Jesus right there. He had one thing in mind on that cross, to go to the cross because he had you in mind. He had you on his heart. And he said nothing, not even Peter, not Satan, nothing is going to stop him. And everything must get behind because he's focused. Because you know, the disciples believed, they really believed that Jesus is going to physically rule and reign on the earth. Because that's what the prophecies and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all these people, they said, no, there's first going to be a reigning Messiah and then a suffering Messiah. They said there's going to be two Messiahs. While Scripture just spoke about one, first the suffering and then a reigning Messiah. But now, sort of, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sell books and all that stuff. So let's make him first the reigning Messiah and then later he's going to suffer. So that's what these guys had in mind. They were clueless. Because they were thinking, well, Jesus is physically going to reign and he's going to call down the weather and the thunderstorms and he's going to sort out some stuff. Baby, he's going to do it. And then we're going to rule the Romans. You know? And that's where they came from. They were so clueless. But the amazing thing is Jesus had one thing in mind. Say one thing in mind. And then the second thing that he says is you must, after you've denied yourself, after you've turned around, you must take up your cross. Now, this doesn't go off very well, especially in many charismatic churches, because we want to feel the good and the prosperity stuff. God is here. He wants to bless you. He wants to give to you. And he loves you all the time. And he does all this stuff for you. And when you need him, you just call on him sometimes in your life. That's not what Jesus said. He said, if you want to have real life, you must deny yourself. And then you must do something. You must take up your cross. That doesn't mean you must go to the cross and you must suffer there. You see lots of people in the world, they're bleeding and they're going, you know, and they're walking with the cross. It just simply means that you say, Lord, I'm here to serve you and to worship you. It doesn't matter what it's going to cost me because you've counted the cost. Whoa. Because you know what life is. It's not about survival. It's not about trying to make it. You say, Lord, I've become a servant. And then the last thing that he says is, come and follow me. And you must, I want you to picture where you are in one of these three stages. Because it says the one, you can't have the first, the third one if you don't have the first one. You can't have the second one the third one if you don't have the second one. I think that's quite obvious. One, two, three. But he says, if you want to come, I will do something when you follow me. He says, come follow me and I will make you. So he says, very simply, what I want from you is not to try and understand or anything like that, because if you lock into my love, what's going to happen, a life of implicit obedience is going to follow. Because your greatest reward is to serve that king. Because you've seen his eyes when he went to the cross. You've seen his eyes on the cross. He had you in mind. And 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 he had you in mind. Not one in this room was excluded of what went through his life right there. He said, I'm going to pay the price so that they can have life. And that's why he says, I'm moving, but you must follow. Don't stand still. Don't wait for 3 years. Don't wait for 30 years. I'm moving. You just follow me. That's how he called his disciples. He says, you follow me. Don't worry about that one. You follow me. You follow me. Say, follow me. Have you ever played that little thing, follow the leader? Okay? And then when the leader goes like this, everybody goes like this. When the leader goes like this, everybody goes like this. When the leader goes, run around, then everybody. It's just like monkey see, monkey do, all over the place. Woo! No, there's too much technical stuff here. Monkey see, monkey do. Whatever you do, you just follow the leader. And you know what? That is the most simplistic thing in life. Just do what God tells you to do. You don't try to need to save yourself, try to need to heal yourself, try to need to deliver you. Just come and follow Jesus. Whoa. Jesus said, that's life. Just follow me. Say, follow me. Let me read you one scripture and then we're going to finish. Knowing that you were not redeemed, 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, not stuff in this world. Then he tells us, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What a scripture. I want you to think about this. He says, if you go to a place and you want to stay in a nice, eat in a nice restaurant, or you want to go in a fancy hotel, then the first thing that we as men do is we normally think, what is it going to cost me? Would you agree? You think, okay. Or if some of us, when somebody gives us something, we think, oh, okay. What is he, what's between the lines? Just tell me the bottom line, okay? Ladies just want to feel good. They don't worry, you know, when they're going to the shopping mall. It's just like it's a worship experience for some people, you know. But be careful, some men as well, you know. I was there, a friend, we had a meeting there in a canal walk on Saturday. And I was just sitting there, and everybody comes in there. It's like they relax. Have you seen people walking in the shopping mall? They're carrying these massive bags. And they're going to this shop, going to that shop. And they've got this smile. And the more they get, the more they smile. I know there's not one in this room, there's not one sinner in this room that does stuff like that. And ladies, why are you laughing so loud? No, I'm not joking. But the most amazing thing is, you know, there's some satisfaction when you buy something that you really wanted. Would you agree? If you've got that new pair of tackies and you think, you know, then the first 3 weeks you put them in the cupboard, you look after them, you like focus on them, and you, nobody touched my tackies. Or nobody touched anything. It's like you were the first person to get tackies like that. You don't run in the mud. You don't run anywhere, you know, with that hockey stick or whatever, you know. You just, and that thing is like an idol. It's next there to your Bible and all this stuff. It's just right there, you know. But, you know, there's something that satisfies you when you buy something in this worldly system. Would you agree with me? But, you know, when Jesus came to the cross, he bought us, scripture says, not with money or gold, but he bought you with the most precious thing that can ever be around, and that is his blood. He has paid a price for you that nothing in this world can do, and nothing in this world can compare. And he said, I'm going to give myself because you and you and you, I want to have a relationship with you. And I want to show myself to you, but I'm putting everything. God the Father said, I'm putting everything on the table. Everything that you cannot buy. And you can run around and you can go on with life like you pretend I don't exist. But there's one thing where each one of us will one day before God give an account. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Everybody is going to need to answer that. Whether you want to answer it tonight, or whether you want to answer it at the end of your life, or when you stand before God one day, there's one question that God is going to ask every person, I believe with all of my heart. He's going to ask you, what did you do with that precious price? What did you do? Because the moment when you say yes to that, he comes. He takes that blood and he rubs it all over you. He comes and he takes that blood and he says, I'm going to place it on you. I'm going to give you a new life. I'm going to change you from the inside out. I'm going to start to reveal myself to you. I'm going to show you why you really exist. I'm going to start to reveal myself in a way that you have not seen. But it's going to be a place where you're not in control. Because you've taken up your cross. You've said, yes, God, I'm here to serve you. Not in my little formulas, not in my way of thinking. But I've come to say yes to the call of that King of Kings. Because I realize how much he's paid. How much he loves me. And the only response that I can give back to him is say, yes, here I am. So Sorry, goed. I want to talk to the people here at the back. Because do you know, each one of you, you're included when Jesus was walking to the cross. Every one of you. There's not one not worthy of that blood. And there's not one worthy, not worthy, to respond back when he asks us tonight, what did you do with my son? And so tonight that call is the same like it was many years ago. It happened. It's finished. And he says, if you want to have life, come and deny yourself. Come and take up your cross. Come and get life from me. Because I will never ask you to do something that I have not given myself. I'm going to say that again. God will never ask us to do something that he has not given himself to us. So if you're sitting here tonight, you don't have a relationship with that King of Kings, I want you to stand up and I want you to come and stand right here in front and say yes to the King of Kings and say, Lord, here I am. I want to deny myself. Lord, because it's just a response to your love. It's a response to life. It's not an invitation to suffering. You're all going to suffer and you're going to have great times. But more than that, you're going to find life, because life is a person. It's Jesus Christ. Truth is a person. It's Jesus Christ. And then he says, then you come and you say yes and you follow me. You come after me and I'm going to show you things. I'm going to make you as you go. Don't try to make yourself. I'm going to make you as you go. So we're not having precious music or anything like that, because we don't need a witness of music. We need a witness of the King, and he's here tonight. So if you're here, maybe you don't have a relationship with him. Maybe you're backslidden. Somebody has brought you here and you feel that you're ready. There are three people here. You want to run out of that door and that door, because you feel like you're going to die 1,000 deaths now. You don't actually want to be here. But you know what? God has just said, that's just his love. That's just his mercy. Because he was walking to a cross one day. And not Peter could even stand in his way. He said, get behind me. Come behind me, Peter. Because I'm going somewhere. Come behind me, Peter. I'm going somewhere. So what are you paying for your soul tonight? Do you know? You can pay nothing except surrender. Because Christ has already paid everything. So while everybody's praying right now, if that's you, why don't you come to the front quickly? Come and meet me right here, because we want to pray for you. If God is speaking to you about surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, won't you come? Right now, just come. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand next to you and say, I need to be in front. I need to be in front tonight, because that's just the life of the cross. That's the life of his fullness. Won't you come? While people are praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here, Lord, because only you can convict, only you can change, only you can bring us again to that place of the greatest invitation ever, and that is to come to the cross. So if God is speaking to you, and maybe you've been backsliding, or you're just far away from Jesus, that he's inviting you again. He's saying, come, come, come to me, all who are weary. Won't you come quickly? Thank you. Just come. People are going to come. Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah. They've broken the ice, so you just come. If you need to be in front, just come. James, if you guys can come on so long. There's some more people you need to be in front. I want you just to come. We're going to wait for you, because heaven's doors are wide open. You can just come. There's still lots of people coming, and we're going to just wait for them to come. Won't you come quickly? Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to make it easier for some people. We're all going to stand. And if you stand, you know you must be in front. Don't stop by standing. Just start walking. Okay, so let's all stand. And you just come right to the front. Because I know there's some more people that need to come to Christ tonight. Don't want anybody to move out right now. This is a holy moment. This is the closest you can get to eternity. Is when one soul comes to know Christ. And there's still more people coming. So we're just waiting. We're relaxing because there's no pressure. You only come when you're convicted. You only come when God calls you. And He's calling lots of people tonight. So won't you just come? Like I repeat, some more people are coming and we're just relaxing. Can we sing that song, that last one, just that chorus part, that slow part in the beginning? Is that the beginning part or the slow part? You know that part. The beginning of the song. That was the slower part. Let's sing that. Before we're going to pray for people, we're going to just come to Christ. If you are backslidden here tonight and maybe you're just running around, there are some people here that I just sense in my heart that you are so afraid. And you're afraid of one thing. It's just a simple thing. It's to give up control. Because all you know in your life is survival. It's just that place where you just survive and you just survive and you just sort of... You stop all your heart to. But tonight God is saying, He's not calling you to survival. He's not calling you to try Him. He says, here I am. Just come. Receive me. So we're going to wait. I know there's some more people and we don't want to put pressure on you. That says we're going to just worship God and then Jesus is going to draw you. If you need to come to Christ tonight, let's just sing that part.
Thank you for your grace that led me home. The love you bled on a hill. In peace that I've come to know. Thank you for your life. Thank you for my past, which you redeemed today. Walk with me and all that I cannot yet see. You give abundant life. And when I think of what you did, all else fails in the light of my Savior's love. When I see the cross again, realize that all I have is yours. It is your blood that washed me clean. It is your sacrifice that covered all my sin. And all I can say is thank you. It is your blood that set me free, that I might boldly come to worship you, my King. All I can say is thank you.
Hallelujah. We're going to just receive what Christ died for tonight. And He's going to wash you clean. He's going to make you new, a new creation. So I want all of us just to pray together. Lord, here I am, a sinner. I repent of my sins. And I come to you because I really need a Savior. So Lord, come and save me and wash me clean from all unrighteousness and my sins. Here I'm standing. Because I've been trying to save myself. But I surrender all. I surrender all. Come and live inside of me. You take control as I step from the throne of my life. Because only you are worthy to be worshipped tonight. And I bow my heart's knee to you and say thank you. Wash me clean. I receive eternal life. Thank you that I can be your child from this moment on and forevermore. I will worship you. And I thank you for your love and your grace and your joy. Lord, I walk away from the old ways. Help me, Lord, to renew my mind. Show yourself to me, because I want to see your face. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's everybody just give a shout to God in this place. But we're going to quickly do this. Somebody behind you that's going to pray with you. You are so precious to us. God has set up this whole meeting just to reveal His love towards you. And I want to say to you, I want you to look up at me quickly. I want to say to you, what's your name? Jan Hendrik. You are worthy of the blood of Christ. Any, you're worthy of the blood of Christ. What's your name? Zach, you're worthy of the blood of Christ. He died for you. What's your name? Chlomisa, you are beautiful, eh? Amen. God loves you so much. And all of you standing here, Daniel, all of you. Right here, God loves you so much. So what we're going to do, we just need 3 minutes of your time. You can just turn to your right and quickly follow that way out through that door. There, Omar with a hand. And Lainey with a hand. The people going that side. Just move there quickly. Let's just give them an applause tonight. Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. The second group of people that I want to give an invitation to tonight is you. You've made a commitment to Jesus and you love Jesus. And He loves you so much. He already does. And He's like, He's just overwhelmed with you just being His child. But tonight is a crossroad for you, because you've said yes to Him. You've turned away, but there are so many things in this world that are keeping you back. There are so many addictions, so many stuff. And you know, Jesus is your Savior, but He's not the Lord of your life. And you know that tonight. And Lord is that word, owner. The one who I've come to serve, give my life to every day. And God is saying tonight to you that you must take up your cross. Stop worrying about making yourself or doing anything. Just say yes to Him. Give Him a blank check. And stop running around from one church to another where you try to get the best flavor of the month. Because the greatest thing that you can do is to serve God somewhere. And find that place. Find your giftings. And find the place and serve Him. And worship Him. Because God is just coming back for worshipers. People that have said, like Paul says, I'm a bond servant of Christ. I no longer live, but Christ who lives inside of me. And tonight you know that you've been running around because your life is actually a mess, because there's one thing, you're not accountable to anybody else. And you love Jesus. But God is giving you invitation to say, come, serve me, worship me, and follow me. There's some people here that God has given some promises. He said, I'm going to do amazing stuff in your life. And you know tonight that you are disobedient to that call of God on your life, because God has spoken to you. There's some people here, like 3 years. There's a lady here, 3 years ago, you're sitting right there at the back in that area. 3 years ago, God's call was in your life. You cried and you wept, and then you try to figure everything out with your life. And God says, my hand is on you even right now as I'm speaking, because God is going to set you free. And all He wants is just to be obedient to that call. Just to say yes. Just follow the leader. Just follow Him. Just come again and say, God. And there's some of us here that have made very distinct vows and stuff that we've said to God. And it feels like the whole hell has broke loose against you. And somewhere you've gotten straight. And God is saying tonight, just come. Don't make vows to me again. Just come and say, yes, God, I want to follow you. Yes, God, I want to serve you. If that's you tonight, and you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about very specific stuff that needs to break over your life, why don't you come to the front right now, as we're going to just worship God, and He's going to set some of us free. Because you know, He gives us the ability to follow Him. Because His eyes was like that. His eyes was like flint on the cross. He was focusing on you. And he said, I'm going to go through this. I'm going to go through the Gethsemane. I'm going to go. I'm going to die. I'm going to sweat blood. Because I'm going to give you, I'm going to create the capacity for you to do my will. That was why he was so determined to go there. He said, anything in my way, get out of my way, because I'm making a way. I'm creating an atmosphere where somebody else can come and just follow me. Just follow me. Don't try to suffer. Don't try to, just follow me. God has been speaking to you. There's some people here that are very specific stuff that you've said to God, and tonight is a turning point in your life. You must come back. You must say, God, I am sorry for those vows that I've made. Because God says, don't make all those vows, but they're very specific stuff. And you feel so condemned. You feel so guilty. And I know I'm belaboring the point, but I feel there are some people that must come, and you must come now. Because there's a freedom for you just to come, to start all over again. As if God is saying it to you the first time again. There's some people here that are sleeping around, and the Lord is saying to you now to stop it. Stop it. You need a change of mind. You need a change of action. There's some of you involved in stuff that you must not be involved with. And you must deny those fleshly desires. You must come out of that stuff. Come out of that pornography. Come out of that stuff that are binding you, because it's killing you. You're not committing it's not about the sin, but it's just the killing a relationship of obedience with God. And you're trapped right there in cycles upon cycles. The Lord is saying to you, I want to set you free, and I've set you free on the cross. But just come. Won't you come stand right here in front? We're going to just pray for you. But we're not going to, I don't want facilitators to pray for people and do la-di-da. It's not our prayers that's going to change. It's your heart where you just come to Jesus. And we're going to just worship Jesus. Amen. And as you do that, lots of people are coming, and we're just waiting for you. If you want to kneel in front, do that. Or if you're a bit shy and you're standing at the back and the Lord is speaking to you, then just someone kneel right there where you are. Whatever you want to do. But God, He wants your heart. And He says, tonight, Jesus is saying, get behind me, Satan. Tonight, Jesus is saying, move out of my way, anything that stands in the way of me coming to you. Isn't that amazing? Let's just sing a worship song as people are coming in. Just come to Jesus. Amen. Just come and renew those things.